Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we got lots to talk about this hour and next, so stay with us, and we invite your phone calls. 888-302-3684 is our number. 888-302-3684. So call us, please, with your most urgent health and nutrition questions. We got lots to talk about on today's program. We've got some information on the relationship between stress and cholesterol. You know, we tend to think that diet is really what causes us to have elevated cholesterol. I have some things to say on the relationship between high cholesterol foods and blood cholesterol. But also, interestingly, cholesterol may have something to do with our stress levels. You can stress your way into a high cholesterol, according to new studies. 888-302-3684 is our number. And one of the big stories that's circulating around this week is the Zika virus. The Zika virus is a virus that has been implicated in an outbreak of microcephaly, which is a fancy medical word meaning that babies have unusually small heads. This associated with mental retardation, because you got a small head, you got a small brain, and well, there you go. You got very serious, devastating birth defects. And the Zika virus is associated with the onset of microcephaly, but it's circumstantial evidence. And there's some rumors going around that it's really not the Zika virus that's causing the microcephaly. Brazil is a country which is particularly prone to these microcephaly episodes. And other countries where there's Zika virus, yeah, there's some microcephaly. But Brazil's the country where it's really hitting hard. And the thought is that microcephaly may be the result of a widespread campaign of using a pesticide, which is called pyriproxifen. And there's a big campaign going on in Brazil, which is accusing Monsanto of being behind this microcephaly outbreak. Now, we like to villainize Monsanto because, well, Monsanto's behind GMOs and agribusiness, and they're a big manufacturer of pesticides, better living through chemistry, you know, the motto. But it's unclear if this is really the case. Under the conspiracy theory, this is kind of like black helicopter stuff, is this Zika virus thing, that's just a cover-up. Monsanto's poisoning people by putting a lot of pesticide into the environment, finds its way into the water supply, pregnant women drink the water, and thus causing this terrible birth defect. And we know that pesticides can be dangerous. They can cause pregnancy-related problems and affect offspring. There's no question about that. But number one, it's guilt by association here. Monsanto really isn't the company that makes this pesticide. It is a company that is sort of a loosely affiliated company with Monsanto, a company called Sumitomo, which has a, quote, strategic partnership with the agri-giant Monsanto. And so it's really not Monsanto, number one. And number two, it is somewhat likely, but not entirely assured, that there really is something bad about the Zika virus. Now, the Zika virus, mostly occurring in the southern hemisphere these days, and warnings have been going out to tourists, particularly women who are likely to get pregnant, that when they take that wonderful Caribbean vacation or go to South America, that they might be at risk. And this is a big issue now with the upcoming Olympics, because some of the athletes going down there, well, you know, chance that they could get pregnant and get bitten by a mosquito and then have a devastating effect on their offspring. This is really going to put a damper on this. I mean, this whole thing with the Brazil Olympics, between the pollution down there, the inability of them to clean up the water, and the Zika virus, which is running rampant, this is going to create kind of a dark cloud over the upcoming Summer Olympics this year. And so, interesting article here that I'm looking at. It's from Associated Press by Mike Stabby, who's a medical writer for Associated Press. He writes, "Can scientists prove Zika virus is causing birth defects?" Well, the answer is it is likely that the Zika virus is behind a surge in this rare birth defect in Brazil, but it's not entirely proven. The health minister of Brazil said last week that he was, quote, absolutely sure that the mosquito-borne virus is a cause. But other researchers aren't so certain. The simple presence of the virus doesn't mean it caused the birth defect. It means there's a probability, says Dr. Arnold Monto. He's a University of Michigan epidemiologist. So here, okay, in science, when you want to prove that a certain bug is causing a disease, I mean, this dates back to the 1800s when we first developed the germ theory. There was a German medical researcher named Koch, K-O-C-H, and he came up with what are called Koch's postulates. And so to prove that a certain bug, whether a bacteria, a virus, perhaps even a fungus, caused a certain medical condition, a couple of things had to happen. One is that in the victims of the disease, you had to be able to find the bug. Okay, well, that's already the case. We already know that Zika is present in the moms of these babies with microcephaly. But the second part of Koch's postulates, it's pronounced Koch, but it's actually spelled the same way that Mayor Koch, spelled pronounced differently, former mayor of New York, spelled his name. But Koch's postulates, part two, is that you have to be able to take the bug, stick it into a person, or perhaps an experimental animal, and cause the disease. And frankly, it's not considered ethical to infect people, especially pregnant women, in a little experiment to see what happens when you stick some Zika virus in a pregnant lady. Not when there seems to be a real chance that a volunteer could be seriously harmed. So, well, we look for animal models. We often do that with disease. We try to find like a monkey or a mouse or a rat who might be an experimental animal so that we can study disease. But so far, there are no good animal substitutes for humans to study the virus. And that's part of the problem in the investigation of the Zika outbreak. Now, practical implications for folks who are non-pregnant? Not too much, because it's thought that a lot of people get bitten by mosquitoes that transmit the Zika virus, and they don't even know that they've acquired Zika. It's said that 80% of people who get Zika don't feel a thing. Maybe they're just a little bit under the weather, but they don't get major league sick. But here's another wrinkle to the story. In places where the Zika virus has appeared, there's been an explosion of a very devastating neurological condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a paralytic condition. That's pretty scary. This has already occurred in the South Pacific, in Tahiti, Polynesia, where there was a Zika virus outbreak in 2013. And all of a sudden, there was a surge in episodes of Guillain-Barré virus or Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is polio-like syndrome, pretty devastating. I've had a couple of patients who've had that condition, possibly not related to Zika because it's been around for a long time. A lot of things can cause Guillain-Barré. But this is a more scary prospect. And judging from the temperatures here in New York, it's going to be over 60 degrees here in New York pretty soon. We have an early spring. Pretty soon here come the mosquitoes coming up from the south. And at the very least, already they've reported the spread of the type of mosquito that can transmit Zika virus to parts of southern Florida. And as temperatures warm up, we may see Zika virus in the continental U.S. And, yeah, there are a lot of ladies trying to get pregnant in America. And this summer, we don't know, this may pose some serious concerns. Already, I've gotten an emergency email dispatch from the New York State Department of Health, very official emergency communication, that says that if I've got pregnant ladies in my practice, and they've been to parts of the world where Zika virus has been raising its head, that the state of New York has provided new means of testing for these folks. You can go to certain hospitals and get tested for the Zika virus. And then, what do you do then? You've been to a part of the world where Zika virus occurs. You test positive for Zika virus. Maybe you didn't even know you were sick. You're pregnant. Well, what do you do? What do you do? The Pope has even weighed in on this controversy because generally the Vatican is unalterably opposed to birth control, but just visited parts of Latin America and said maybe, just maybe, in the face of this epidemic and the threat of terrible birth defects, women might just consider contraception as a way of fending off the possibility of a devastating birth defect, mental retardation in their child. This is not the Vatican saying, oh, okay, let's bring it on, contraception, abortion. No, they're not in favor of that, but a very interesting move just a little bit towards the possibility that we may want to prevent pregnancies when this risk occurs. So Zika virus, it's kind of raising a lot of you may be listening to this program in Detroit, freezing, cold temperatures, particularly concerned about this, but this may pose problems as temperatures warm up this spring. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We'll take your phone calls momentarily on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Are you waking up each day to the life you have to live or to the life you want to live? Better health shouldn't be left to chance. Smart choices to living longer and stronger include making Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract a part of your daily routine. For years, medical researchers have recommended adding Kyolic to the diet as a powerful tool to enhancing overall heart and immune health. Recent clinical studies at UCLA Medical Center using Kyolic suggest that garlic may slow plaque formation in the arteries and support healthy cholesterol and homocysteine levels. Previous research also shows Kyolic may enhance your immune system defenses. Kyolic is organic, odorless, and the only antioxidant garlic supplement available worldwide. Maintaining a healthier you could extend your life. Your wellness begins with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com, that's Kyolic.com, or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we got callers. 888-302-3684. If you want to get through, our first caller is Roger in Westbury, New York. Roger, over and out. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I got a prescription filled recently for an antibiotic, and in the patient information warning section, it said that it could possibly cause C. diff, Clostridium difficile.
Sure.
Now, doesn't C. diff have to already be present in your body for the antibiotic to make it happen. I mean, you don't catch C. diff from taking an antibiotic. So it's a little confusing.
That is actually an interesting question. So C. diff is a bug that actually some people carry, and they kind of keep it at bay because you have all these other helpful bacteria that keep your gastrointestinal tract in balance. And when you kill off the good bacteria with antibiotics, sometimes C. difficile gains the upper hand and creates an infection, which can cause very severe gastrointestinal bleeding, horrible diarrhea, chronic wasting syndrome. And it's actually very hard to treat because it now has become very antibiotic resistant. It used to respond to ordinary antibiotics like Flagyl, and then it became resistant to even some of the more really heavy guns that we have in the antibiotic arsenal. So what did you get the antibiotic for? You're selling, you're a pretty healthy guy. What's going on?
I'm a very healthy guy. Actually, it was prescribed because I had root canal therapy, and the dentist insisted that I take it for a week, but I took it for 3 days, and I felt horrible, and I called up and said, I'm not taking this anymore. And he said, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit, certainly there's a rationale for taking this, and, especially if you were to have a heart valve or a joint replacement, it's actually very dangerous when you have dental procedures. You could, if you have a kind of a foreign body in, like a hip replacement or something, or a heart valve, you can get a seeding of the bacteria in your mouth to these remote sites, and then you can develop a very, very devastating endocarditis or osteomyelitis kind of infection. But it's a general precaution, and sometimes people skip the precaution. It's a CYA move by the dentist because, 99.9% of people don't get systemic infections after a dental procedure. But for the, 0.1% who do, it can be a very devastating problem. So, look, you're not that bad off. It seems like you averted getting a serious infection. You did your due diligence. You took it for a few days. You felt lousy. Are you having chronic diarrhea now?
Oh, no, I actually, not at all. I take acetophilus every day, and
good.
I eat a lot of probiotics prebiotics, and no.
I'll tell you there is a specific preventive against C. difficile. It's a probiotic called Saccharomyces boulardii, sometimes sold under the brand name Florastore, and it will actually help to prevent C. difficile. So when people take antibiotics in my practice, if it's necessary, I tell them to take good probiotic like Dr. Hira's essential formula, and maybe some additional Saccharomyces boulardii, and generally patients do fine. It's a good preventive. Thanks for calling, Roger. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 888-302-3684. In just a moment, we're going to revisit the egg heart disease controversy. Do eggs really contribute to high cholesterol and the risk of heart disease? But first, let's talk to David from Creston, Iowa. How you doing, David?
How you doing, Doctor? Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You know, I found out something. I got a real big surprise. I was looking to, some lady called up, and she was trying to sell a book on the radio, and it turned out to be a 1925 manual for a doctor back then. You know, that's when they
had fascinating. That is really fascinating. That's like a historical archive. There's some interesting stuff in there.
Oh, you're telling me. This thing is about 4 inches thick.
Wow.
And I understand that if you were able to make it through that book, you were automatically given a doctorate. You know, you became a doctor. And
David, you know, what's interesting is that in the Abraham Lincoln, for example, never went to law school, but he read the law. In other words, he did, I guess, a course of study, got a few books, you know, sat in that log cabin house and memorized some stuff, passed some basic exam, and became a lawyer. Well, actually, in the early days of medicine, and even in the early 20th century, you could sort of do that with medicine, too. Interesting. You didn't have to go through 4 years of medical school, 3 to 5 years of residency, additional specialization. You could just kind of read the medicine and then practice. So that kind of harkens back to the early era.
Yeah, they took it right out in the field about it. You know, that's when the Wild West was the Wild West. And, you know, I think a lot of this stuff came from the Indians, you know, some of these stuff. And my real question was, they show you in that book how to make medicine, okay, because they couldn't run down. There wasn't any pharmacies, you know. You couldn't run
down.
Like
a mortar and pestle. You'd get a mortar, but you get like an herb or a root or something like that and mash it up and maybe put a little, dilute it in some alcohol or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They list all this stuff in there. I was just going to ask you, is it safe if I try to do so? I look up the symptoms I got, and then, I'm getting old enough, so if I die, it doesn't really that, it's not that critical, you know?
Yeah. If you want to volunteer yourself, for medical science, you can undertake some of those, a trial of some of those experiments. But, you know, here's the thing. Even before that book was written, back in the 19th century, Mark Twain presciently wrote, be careful of medical books. You might die of a misprint. You know, so it's not everything in there is the real deal. There was a lot of speculation. There are a lot of kind of wacky therapies. You know, bloodletting was a common therapy in the 1800s. Certain herbs were used that, probably have real basis in fact, and, ultimately may have been purified and became medications in the 20th and now in the 21st century. We actually, learned a lot from, ancient, traditions. Some of the medicines that we rely on now, like, digoxin, is actually based on the foxglove plant. And certain cancer therapies now are derived from periwinkle plants. And Taxol is based on the yew tree. I mean, these are things that, aspirin even is from, bark from a tree. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everything in that book is legit or even safe and non-toxic. But, it is interesting.
I'd be a little bit leery about it, too. So
you could put that book on eBay, and maybe some rich doctor is going to pick up that book and put it in his medical library. You know, who knows?
Like you.
Yeah, like me.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Yeah, I'll let you get back to your show. Thank you.
Yeah, take a screenshot of the table of contents of that book. I'd love to see it and send it my way. Send it to patients@drhoffman.com. That's where I get some of my correspondence. Or radio program at AOL.com is a good place to send information and also to pose questions. When you pose questions via radio program at AOL.com, we'll we'll take your question and we'll use it as fodder for our weekly podcast, our Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions. You know, some of the questions come to us via phone calls on our weekend shows, and some of the questions come to us directly via email, and we answer them through our podcasts, and those are always interesting. All right, let's revisit this debate. Cholesterol in eggs, is it bad for you? A lot of people eat an egg whites, and I ask, why, oh, why are you doing that? Am I in a time machine? Am I going back to 1991? Because I've been saying for at least a quarter of a century, 25 years now, that eggs are fine and egg yolks are okay. I was bucking the tide then, but recently there's been a spate of stories that suggest that cholesterol in eggs is at worst inconsequential, at best beneficial, and has virtually no impact on heart health. I personally, I probably eat about a dozen eggs or more a week. My cholesterol is great. One of the things I've noticed is that sometimes people, when they increase their egg intake, and they go from a vegan diet, they put eggs in their diet, they put some more saturated fat and cholesterol in their diet, their cholesterol does go up, but their HDL skyrockets. So, and I'll give you a personal example. When I was a vegan, I ate no eggs. I ate no animal protein at all. I was subsisting on tofu and beans and rice, lots of vegetables, seaweed. In those days, my cholesterol was super low. It was as low as, at one point, 130. My HDL was about 35 or 40. When I did a 180 and began incorporating animal protein, lots of eggs, cholesterol-laden foods in my diet, my cholesterol soared. It went up to 210. Oh, my goodness. But look what happened to my HDL. My HDL went up to 80. So the ratio, cholesterol divided by HDL, that's a very important predictor of cardiovascular risk. Well, let's see, do the math. 130 over 40, well, that's about a 4 to 1, a little more than that. 210 divided by 80, that's less than 3 to 1. That's a more favorable ratio, even though the cholesterol is higher. So here's the latest from Medline Plus. Trusted health information for you is their motto. Headline, cholesterol in eggs may not hurt heart health, according to the latest study. This is in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It's a Finnish study. A once maligned egg may not be a heartbreaker after all, new research suggests. Wow. Been saying that for a long time. Finnish researchers say that even carriers of a gene called APOE4, that's the most dangerous genetic predisposition to cardiovascular disease, even those who had APOE4 had virtually no impact when it came to dietary cholesterol. They did not have anything to fear when it comes to the impact of eggs. The findings follow the 20-year-plus tracking of dietary habits among more than 1,000 middle-aged Finnish men. All were heart healthy at the study's start. And about a third of them carry the APOE4 gene. That's actually interesting because in the past it was thought, okay, maybe for certain folks they're bulletproof. They have good genes. They're not at high risk for cardiovascular disease. But APOE4, high risk for cardiovascular disease, high risk for Alzheimer's, those people need to be on an ultra-low-fat diet. Well, no, it turns out that eggs had virtually no effect on their cardiovascular risk. The study did not find a link between dietary cholesterol and adverse heart health. So this interesting study, there is a story that's making the rounds about the risk of eggs, in particular egg yolks, on people with diabetes. And let me clarify this. If you have diabetes, you are at high risk for cardiovascular disease. And the thought is, if you add eggs to your diet and you're diabetic, you might increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. Well, here's what I have to say about that, is that if you eat eggs as part of a low-carb diet, you will lower your diabetic risk factors. You'll improve your hemoglobin A1C and your glucose, and you will thereby reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease. So it's not, you got a diet where you're eating lots of carbs and you add a bunch of eggs. You're simply going to add more calories and fat. you're going to get fatter, and that's going to increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. But if you do a one-for-one substitution, cut down carbs, eat protein, and even meats and eggs that contain cholesterol, you're going to be better off. Many studies now suggest that the low-carb diet, even a diet that includes some cholesterol, is extremely beneficial for diabetics. So these studies really do not shed light on the situation. The carbs that are particularly damaging for diabetics, lots of starches, lots of sugar, sodas, even excess fruit juice, fructose devastating when it comes to cardiovascular risk. These are some of the facts that tend to get obscured when we isolate on eggs as the culprit in cardiovascular disease. All right, 888-302-3684 is our number. We await your phone calls. We've got lots more to weigh in on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you as we are each weekend. And all right, we just talked about the relationship between eggs and cardiovascular risk. It turns out that cholesterol in eggs doesn't make much of a dent in your blood levels of cholesterol. And eggs are a source of many healthy nutrients. And also, eggs produce a lot of satiety. So you can have eggs for breakfast, and you won't be craving that much in the way of starches, breads, juices, the things that actually may contribute to weight gain, knock your blood sugar out of kilter, and increase your triglycerides. Triglycerides are circulating fats, but they mostly come from excess dietary carbohydrates. Now here comes a study that suggests one way by which you can raise your cholesterol, but it's not via diet. It's via stress. Can stress actually raise your cholesterol? Well, according to researchers, studies have shown that stress increases cholesterol, not only in the short term, but it can also affect cholesterol levels even years down the road. It isn't precisely known how this occurs, but look, you can't live life without encountering stress. Stress is ubiquitous. It is everywhere. We're always around the bend. Stressful events often loom. You can't insulate yourself from stress. But it's how you cope with stress that counts. If you manage stress in unhealthy ways via hostility and hatred and social isolation or self-reproach, for example, it turns out that you are likely to have lower levels of the good HDL cholesterol. This has been documented in the studies. So the amount of stress in your life isn't as important as how you deal with it. The key is resilience. Resilience. That's a very important word, which means your ability to, you know, life hands you a lemon, you squeeze it, and you make lemonade. The more anger and hostility that stress produces in you, the higher and worse your LDL and triglyceride levels tend to be. You know, one theory about this is that stress hormones, like cortisol, is the prime stress hormone. You produce a lot of cortisol when you're subject to stress. The job of cortisol is to provide readily available fuel for a fight or flight situation. But in modern stress, it's not a matter of running from a saber-toothed tiger. You just got to sit there and take it from an antagonistic boss or an abusive spouse, and you just don't burn up that energy. But your cortisol is high, and when cortisol is high, it raises your blood sugar. The sugar tends to create more triglyceride production, and higher triglycerides create higher cholesterol levels. There's a little mathematical equation. For every 100 points above 100 that your triglycerides is, I consider triglycerides should be ideally less than 100. Say your triglycerides are 200. If your triglycerides are 200, automatically you're adding one-fifth of that 100 to your overall cholesterol count. So you'll add 20 points to your cholesterol. You reduce your cholesterol from your triglycerides from 200 to 100, you're going to lower your cholesterol by 20 points. It's all bad cholesterol. So indeed, stress may increase your cholesterol, and you know, of course, has a lot of other ways in which it causes cardiovascular problems. Stress will damage the electrical system of your heart. It'll create inflammation. It'll make you more prone to arrhythmias. And that's all bad for the heart. All right. This item comes to us from researchers in Israel. A new Israeli study shows that Allen can cause weight gain and even lead to some types of cancer. What is Allen? Allen is an acronym, A-L-A-N. It stands for Artificial Light at Night. Allen. Study was published in the International Journal of Obesity. And what they found was that artificial light disrupts daily rhythms and suppresses the production of melatonin. You know, in the darkness, you make melatonin. And when you turn on the lights, your melatonin goes away. And so what they found was, yeah, this is kind of interesting. They took satellite images of artificial light emitted at night from more than 80 countries. So if you fly over the world, say you're in the space station, and you take pictures from all over the world, you might travel over New York City, you're going to see a lot of light. You travel over most of the continental United States and Europe, there's a lot of light. You travel over North Korea, there's no light. What they found was that there was a direct relationship between artificial light at night, Allen, and a country's obesity rates. So they also looked at other factors that influence obesity, and again, country's average birth rate, dietary patterns, gross domestic product, percentage of urban population, and they found that even controlling for those risks, because you might say, look, okay, yeah, these countries, they have a lot of light, but they also have a lot of pollution. People eat poorly. These are affluent countries. They're overweight. They're sedentary. All right, got it. But they adjusted for those things. It turns out that Allen, which is artificial light at night, emerged as a prominent predictor for obesity. And, it's interesting that Israel is a country that is well known for its research on melatonin. And so the implication here is, yeah, okay, let's turn the lights off at night. Make sure that you sleep in a dark bedroom. Don't use your devices near bedtime because that'll abolish your melatonin, right? You know, lots of light in your brain. That's going to downregulate your melatonin production. But the other implication for this is consider taking melatonin to offset obesity and reduce the risk of certain types of cancer, particularly breast cancer, prostate cancer, very much related to Allen, artificial light at night. So interesting study. Hey, you get artificial light at night and you're worried about it. A, turn off the lights. B, take melatonin. And that's very interesting. All right. Prolonged sitting is now thought to be the new smoking. You sit too long, and you're more likely to get cardiovascular disease and other problems. So here's something interesting that they did. They took a bunch of diabetic folks, and they had them either sit for long periods of time, or they told them just to stand up for 5 minutes every 30 minutes. Kind of a nuisance, you got to set a little alarm, and it says, okay, you've been sitting too long, get up and walk around. Actually, I have the Apple Watch that does that for me. It gives me a little vibration when I'm sitting too long. It says, get up and walk around. Okay, it's kind of annoying, but I do it. What they found is very interesting. They found that individuals who were just told to stand, they didn't have to run around, do laps, you know, lift weights, just by standing 5 minutes every 30 minutes, their overall average blood sugar was reduced by 34% when sitting was interrupted by standing. And that is a very, very fascinating conclusion. It suggests that, you know, you're sitting for long periods of time. And commuters certainly prone to that. You got a 2-hour commute. You certainly are in that category. You got an office job. Get up, walk around, take a break, go to the water cooler, do something, because you will actually reduce your risk of high blood sugar significantly and thereby extend your life. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. More coming up in our second hour. We invite you to call us 888-302-3684 for Intelligent Medicine.